So last week we talked about locating where your heart is. And here's what we said. We said wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart's going to be. Wherever your treasures are. Or to say it more plainly, say it like this. I like this way better because it's more direct. Wherever you spend your money, hello? That's what you're into. That's what you're really into. And so God says it like this. They draw close to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. And what we said is, you can't, to be accurate to the word of God, you have to understand this. What's really going on is, wherever you're spending your money is really where your heart is. And so to help you locate your heart, just look and see where you spend your money. And where you spend your money, that's what Jesus said. That's where your heart is really. How many know Jesus is a good indicator of where your heart is? How many know Jesus tells the truth all the time? And so we didn't say that to be a negative, but how many know it's good to locate what's really going on? Because we have a tendency, sometimes we can fake ourselves out with our jargon, right? And so we talked about that a little bit. Can you turn me down a little bit? We talked about that last week. What I want to talk to you this week about is, and I just want to go over this principle. We quote it all the time. I'm going to show you today where it is in the Bible. But here's what happens. Let me just tell you what happens. Let me tell you about Jesus, okay? And listen to the whole thing. Please don't judge it. But Jesus says crazy things. And he says crazy things based on what the world thinks. So he'll tell and he'll give you instruction to do things that are, they don't make sense to you. And so we judge that as that's crazy. And many times, because we judge it as that's crazy, I'm going to figure it out on my own, then we don't do that. But if, everybody said if. Matter of fact, I'll just jump in right in. Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19 says this, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. Well, here's the deal. So all I want to go over is this principle. Here's the principle. God tells you to do something crazy. You say, no, that's crazy. And you see no miracle in your life. You live in the natural. And here's why you live in the natural. Because you filter what God told you to do through your natural intelligence, through your natural mind, and you decide that's crazy. Or, everybody say or. Everybody say or. Or you, God tells you to do something crazy. You do it, and you see a miracle in your life. Those are the two. And most people who come into churches, maybe even including yourself, you will be part of that contentious or that argument that goes on in your mind, and you think, if I do this, then it will be bad, which the reality is just the opposite. If you do what crazy thing God is telling you to do, you're going to walk in the supernatural. You're going to walk in the supernatural. So many people, they come into church, and all they walk in is the natural because they filter it through their mind, and they decide, I can't do that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We and the sound people in the back, we're going to go to Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 17. So we're going to a different place. Where are you guys going? You're going to 2 Kings 5. Stay there in 2 Kings 5, and I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 14. But here's all I'm going to show you. All I'm going to show you is this principle. God's going to tell you something to do. God's going to tell people to do something crazy. They do it, and they walk in a miracle. So if I ask you, how many of you would like a miracle in your life? Raise your hands. Or let me ask a better question. How many need a miracle in your life? Somebody raise their hand. You do. Why? Because, and let me tell you what God never intended you to walk in the natural. He always intended you to walk in the supernatural. So you get born again and you step into his family, and now you're in his family. You have the ability to walk in the supernatural, but you will not walk in that supernatural if you're not obedient to do what God said, i.e., if, go back to Isaiah, if you're willing and obedient. If. You know what if means? If means it's not automatic. See, there's passages where you're like, oh, I'm going to eat the fat of land. No. Not necessarily. If, and then it gives two criteria, you're willing and obedient. Everybody say willing and obedient. So here's what you have. You have some people who are willing. They do what God tells them to do, but they don't do it with a good attitude. Then you have other people, and this is the majority of the people on the other side. They are... They have good attitudes, but they don't do anything. Hello? Okay. You know what? Oh, we're having a good time, you know what, in the boat, but they're not rowing. Oh, this is so good. Well, could you grab that row and start rowing? Oh, it's a nice day. Amen. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Okay. Pick up the row and start rowing. Thank you. I heard that amen. Thank you, brother. See, it's, watch this. It's willing and obedient. You can't just come to church and have a good attitude. You have to be obedient to do what God asks you to do. And if, everybody say it's up to you. See, people don't understand this. They think, oh, it's up to God. It's not up to God. I have a couple of great sermon titles. I don't know what it is here. This will be pick your sermon title Sunday. So you could pick, I've got two great ones. You cause the supernatural. You cause the supernatural. Or the miracle is in your court. It's not in God's court. It's in your court. So if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. The fat of the land was God's promise of a land flowing with milk and honey to the Israelites, that they would have their own land. And let me tell you how awesome this is. Go back to the passage in Isaiah. Let me tell you how awesome this was. The land flowing with milk and honey was promised to the Israelites, a land, listen to me, side note. You know what? The land in the Middle East is a Jewish land. You missed a real good time to say amen. That was given to them by God. And God help any politician, any government that tries to take that land away from them. Amen, somebody. So they were promised this land. Watch this, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's what that meant. A land that was so rich in the soil that they could plant and they'd have incredible crops. And God promised them a land and then filled it with people, and they filled it, and he wanted it for his people, and that his people would live in houses that they didn't build and drink out of wells that they didn't dig. He said, Pastor, that's not fair. Well, listen to me very carefully. Who told you that God was fair? See, we think God, we filter God through our own thinking. No, God, listen to me, things are leaning towards his covenant people. That's how God thinks. God's a covenant God, and he thinks covenant. So if you're part of the covenant, guess what? It might not be fair, but praise God, if you're part of the covenant, how many know it's good? And he wants his people to live in these houses, and that they didn't build nice big houses. The Bible says, I didn't say it. And be able to drink water from wells that they didn't dig. But watch this. But it's not automatic. It took them, they had to be willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. And all I'm going to do today is show you that the same God that said this to the Israelites is the same God that shared it with people in the New Testament. And when the people would be obedient to what Jesus asked them to do, even when it was crazy, they walked in a miracle. They walked in the supernatural. So we'll look at it a couple places. Go ahead in the back. You guys stay at 2 Kings, but we're going to go to Matthew. Look at this at Matthew up in the screens with me. Matthew chapter 14, verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, him being Jesus, this is when Jesus was walking on the water. When they saw him walking on the water, walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. How many would freak out if you saw somebody walking on the water? Well, they were freaking out. Oh, it's a ghost. They're freaking out. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. He saw that they were freaking out. Speaks to them and says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Next verse. And Peter answered him and said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Next verse. So he said, "Come." That's the commandment. That is the crazy commandment. How many know it's crazy to tell somebody to walk in the water? See, this is craziness. This is non-logical. But watch this. If Peter will do the crazy instruction that God asked him to do, he's going to walk on the water. He's going to walk in a miracle. He's going to walk in the supernatural. And when Peter, very important for you to catch these words, and when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He said, "Pastor, duh, I don't get it." No. Did he catch it? And when Peter had come out of the boat, I could say it like this. When he came out of the boat, then he walked on the water. Or I could say it like this. He never would have walked out of the water had he not come down out of the boat. Let me say it like this so you can see it. And when Peter had come, say this is the boat, had come down out of the boat. See, watch this, all eyes up here. Then he walked on the water. Do you see it? This is the boat. I'm out. Then he walked on the water. Here's what I'm saying to you. He has the command. It's a crazy command. And the supernatural power is in his hands. He has the commandment of God, but until he's obedient and willing to come out of the boat, he's not going to walk on the water, and he's not going to walk in the supernatural. Do you see this? When did Peter walk on the water? When he came out of the boat. He didn't walk on the water on the command. The command wasn't enough to... Jesus' commandment come didn't pick him up and put him on the water. See, it's not automatic. Us walking in the supernatural is possible, but it's not automatic. And there's people, and you want a miracle in your life, and you're waiting. And here's the thing, you already have the command of God. Hear what God is saying to you, and then be obedient to the command. Yeah, but it's crazy. I know, his ways are not your ways. But let me tell you about his ways. His ways are higher than your ways. They're not natural. And that's why it's counterintuitive. Your mind is screaming at you, "Don't do that, that's dumb, it's ridiculous, it won't work." Well, that's when you have to lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all his ways. He walked on the water only when he got out of the boat. And that's when he walked in the supernatural. That's when he walked in the miraculous power of God. And let me tell you what, you will be no different. You will walk in the supernatural power of God when you're obedient to do the crazy thing that he's asking you to do. Can I show it to you again? Luke, throughout the Bible. Luke chapter 8, verse 48. Luke chapter 8, verse 48. You know this. Look what it says. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." This is the woman with the issue of blood. Let me just go to the next verse. While he was still speaking, he's speaking to this woman, and here's what happens. You know what? He's speaking to this woman. Someone came, you know what, from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." Let me tell you what's going on. Jairus comes to him, says, "My daughter is sick to the point of death. Come to my house and heal her." Jesus says, "I will." He's walking. The woman with the issue of blood stops him. They go through that whole thing. She touches him with his garment. She gets healed. He talks to her. While he's talking to her about what just happened, somebody from Jairus' house comes and says, "It's over. She's dead. Too late." You know what? Maybe he's saying it. "It's too late, baby, now. It's too late." Right? Some of you older are like, "Amen." Said, "It's too late." He said, No. Here. But when Jesus heard it, what this guy's saying is too late, he answered him. Look what he says, saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." Amen. Crazy commandment. But this guy's saying she's dead. I know, but Jesus is giving a command. Now he's looking at the Father saying, whoa, eyes up here. You know what I mean? Here. You know, look at me in the eyes. You know what I mean? Right? And he's saying this, "Listen, you got to stay focused here. Because I'm about to tell you something, and it's going to sound crazy. But I am the truth. I'm the life. I only speak truth, and I'm telling you the truth. If you'll stay in this with me, your daughter is going to live." So what happens? Well, they go to the guy's house. Everybody's like, Jesus says this. Jesus speaks the things that are not as though they were. I'm telling you, Jesus talks crazy. But he's right all the time. Always be on Jesus' side. Always know that whatever he's telling you is going to happen, it's going to happen. Just a side note, but this is a good note. Jesus Christ is going to come back. This, what we know, you know, everything what we know is all going to be changed. It's all going to be different. We think all what we're doing is so important. Let me tell you what's really important. What you do to build the kingdom of God. All the stuff we do, I don't know who needs to hear this. All the stuff that we do is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And all the crazy, stupid, silly stuff that really doesn't make any difference is all going to be burned up. The only thing that's going to last is what you did to build the kingdom of God. We live in a world where we get so out of focus on all this stuff. And one of the important things to come to church all the time is to center yourself and remember, hey, all that stuff's not important. Amen. So, you know what? So he says, "Hey guys, hey, stick with me here." And he's got all these people making fun of him. He calls the things that are not as though they are. He says, "No, she's not dead. She's just sleeping." They laugh him. The King James says they laugh him to scorn. They're totally laughing at him. Let me tell you what. Let me prophesy. They will laugh at you. Sometimes you'd be smart to not even tell them. Amen. I'm not saying all the time. Sometimes you need to testify and say, "I'm doing this and God's going to do this," and but you be led of the Spirit. But sometimes you need to just be quiet and just do it. Because you have to protect your heart, because they're going to tell you something. Jesus is like, "Don't listen to them. Just stick with me and believe what I'm telling you to do. If you will believe, your child is going to live." So he kicks everybody out. Everybody say, "Kicks everybody out." So everybody out. I mean, provide an atmosphere where we're gonna have I'm gonna have Peter, and you know what, and the mom and dad, the dad's like all in, man. And he speaks to the little girl, and she gets up. 12 years old, she gets up. Now here's the question. Here's a million-dollar question. Why did the girl live? Why did the girl live? Because the father didn't back off. So, Pastor, how do we know that? Because the Bible says. Well, see, we can't rewrite the Bible. Don't do that. Bad theology. Jesus said, if you'll believe, she'll live. So when she lived, we know we can go back and go, oh, that's why she lived, because Jesus, because the Father believed. If you believe, you know what? She's going to live. The commandment was, I want you to don't not believe. Don't get off track. Don't start to be afraid. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Just believe. She lives. Boom. Crazy commandment. Crazy obedience. Right? Now he's walking in the supernatural. He gets to see his daughter turn 13, turn 14, turn 15, turn 16, turn 18, turn 20. He probably walked her down the aisle. When the rabbi said, who gives this woman to be wed? He said, I and her mother do. Now, I don't know that happened. Here's what I'm saying. They had a celebration that day instead of a funeral that day. That's what I know for sure. You know what I mean? Instead of figuring out what the coffin was going to be like that, they figured out what she was going to have for lunch. Amen? See, here's what I'm saying. God's the same yesterday, forever. That the miracle is in your court. And God supernaturally is asking you to do things that you think, man, that just didn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. You know what? But let me tell you what. Very possibly, your marriage is hinged on you. Forgive your spouse. Yeah, but I've already forgiven him 38 times. I know. Stop counting. Forgive him. Yeah, but she's such a, you know what, yada. She's such a nag. She's not such a being. Here. Shutteth thou mouthest. Could God tell you to shut up? Amen? Yeah, he could. You know what? Many times your mouth is the very thing that's hindering you from walking in the blessings of God. You're using, with your mouth, you bless God, but then you curse men. James says it shouldn't happen. Stop cursing your wife. Stop cursing your husband. Stop telling all your friends stop rehearsing to your friends all the idiotness of your husband. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. I heard a lady say amen. I don't know who you were, but thank you, Jesus. You know what? Because we get used to doing that, and men do it too. And we do it to our kids, and we do it to our grandkids, and we do it to ourselves. And what I'm saying is the miracle's in your court. Start to believe God. Yeah, but I can't forget. You do it again. Who said you can't? The Bible said, with God, all things are possible. You can forgive. You can walk in love. You can, you don't, but you've rehearsed it too many times. The miracle is in your court. Will you do something crazy to walk in the miracle of God? This guy did, and his daughter lived. His daughter lived. Luke chapter, are you still in 2 Kings?
Yes.
Stay in 2 Kings. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Look at this. And when he entered a certain village, he met 10 men who were lepers. I mean, there's no cure for leprosy back then. Leprosy was a hideous disease that would start to eat your skin and eat your flesh. And this is gross. But your body would literally just start falling. They would lose hands and ligaments. What do they call it? Phalanges. Yeah, fancy, huh? Phalanges. Amen. fingers and hands and toes and feet and noses would just deteriorate where they would have no none of these, and it was, I mean, just a hideous disease. And it was so hideous that and contagious, and they'd tell them, get out, you're unclean. So these 10 lepers come to Jesus, they met him, and Jesus, you know, it says, met him there, 10 lepers who stood afar off. They're far off. Why? Because they couldn't come. And they lifted up their voices. See, they're far off. Jesus, Master, have mercy. We're unclean, but do something. You catching this? Have mercy on us. Next verse. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Now let me teach a little bit. Back then, if you were supernaturally healed of leprosy, because there was no cure for leprosy, you'd have to go to the priest. The priest would declare that you were really healed. They'd examine you, and they declare that you're really healed, and then you could go back and be part of society. So here's the crazy command. Go show yourself to the priest. Now watch this. And so it was that, here's the words I want you to catch, as they went. Everybody say that. Now watch this. Watch a word picture. Watch this. They're all eyes up here. Watch this. Go show yourself to the priest as they went, they were cleansed. Did you catch that? I'll do it to you again, then I have a question for you. Watch this. Go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Did you catch that? Now, here's a question. Here's a question. I did all that. Let's see how sharp you guys. Pay attention. So back here, here's $1 million question. Were they cleansed or were they not? Back here, when they get the command, go show yourself to the priest. They're standing there. At that point, were they healed or did they still have leprosy? Okay, watch this. And you're going to go to the priest. And he's going to, why are you going to the priest? Because you're going to show the priest, hey, I'm whole. I'm clean. I'm cleansed. But here's the thing. Back here, are they whole or are they still sick? Crazy. Everybody say crazy. Why would I go to the priest? I'm sick. I have leprosy. See, it's a crazy command. God, that's what God does. He doesn't think the way you think. He doesn't speak the way you speak. He doesn't act the way, I'm talking carnally. And you know what? When you constantly rely on your intelligence, your mind of thinking, then here's what's going to happen. You're going to stay back here and nothing will happen. Well, I don't know. You know what? They could have had this conversation. That don't make any sense. Why would we go show ourselves? Because that is proof that we're healed. But the Bible says, see, and understand this, they didn't have the Bible. They couldn't turn to Luke 17, 14 and say, oh, as they went, they were, we got to go. We got to go. Do you understand this? They didn't have this. All they had was a crazy word from Jesus. Are you catching this? They didn't have this. Well, you have all the testimony of God, but you're like them. He's speaking to tell you to do something, and you have to do the same thing. That you are going here. When are you going to see the miracle? Here's where you're going to see the miracle: as you go. That's when you're going to see the miracle. And for many people, they'll never see the miracle because they are too busy looking at what is, calling the thing that is as though it is, and that just regenerates, or it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. See. Well, great. Stand there. Continue to do nothing. Continue to lean on your own understanding. Let me tell you what. And you will not walk in the miracles of God. But do me a favor. If that's you, and I pray that it's not, if that's you, do me a favor. Don't blame God for it. Because let me tell you how he works. He works the same over and over again. He tells you to do something crazy. And it's only as they went that they were healed? At what step did they start recognizing, hey, this is working? You know, my thought is they probably, you know what, it might have been 30 steps before they noticed any physical difference. The Bible doesn't say. But I tell you what, 10 men were blessed in the supernatural power of God. Here's why. Because they did what God told them to do. And here's the challenge. The challenge is, what's going to cause them to walk in God? What's going to cause them to go? It's just the commandment of God. Will you be, because let me tell you what, if you will be willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. What's the reciprocal? If you don't, if you're too busy figuring it out, and many times, can I be honest with you? Part of the hardest time that we have is with our finances. And what we want to do is we want to shut down the messenger because this goes crosswise with what we've figured out. We get real touchy sometimes when it comes to money. How many know this is true? But can I tell you the truth? I told you this too last week. But Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven. And let me just tell you, when Jesus is talking about money, he's not talking about money. He's talking about where your heart is. Amen. Amen. But Pastor, it's hard. Can I give you perspective? Can I tell you what's really hard? What's really hard is to continue to walk in disobedience to God and continue to walk in natural. That's what's hard. You want to know what's hard? That's what's hard. Let me give you perspective. That's what's hard. That's what's difficult. I'm not saying it's not challenging for you to start walking, for you to start forgiving, for you to start giving, for you to make a commitment to the outdoor project. So, Pastor, wait a minute, wait a minute. Because sometimes here's what happens. We're like, wait a minute, wait a minute. Oh, now I get where you're going. I know you, what you're doing. You're just trying to get me to give. Well, let me think about it. Yeah. Well, you busted me. Can I tell you what? Is it possible? I'm just asking. Is it possible? This is going to sound sarcastic, but just listen to me for a minute. Is it possible that God is really real? And is it possible that God really does speak to people? And is it possible that God's will is that everyone gets saved? And is it possible that he might give us a practical job to do that would minister and talk to people very loudly in our community, that people would turn their head and look at our church? You know how many people don't even see our church? You know why? Because they've lived here all their life. Because this church had been here before Pico Rivera existed. This church was here. We outdated the city. Amen. I don't know how many people I've talked to. They said, we didn't even know your church was there. I'm like, oh, you know, how in the world do you not know it? But is it possible that we could build an outdoor facility that could hold 275 people, that would be so stunning and so spectacular that it could cause people to turn their heads? And could it be that simple obedience to what God is asking? Do we have any indication in the Bible of corporately people giving to do something, and corporately that was the catalyst that exploded something spiritually? I'm just asking. And could it be that your pastor is sincere, that I don't say this with any manipulation in my heart, but with a sincere desire to show you in the Word of God that this is how God works and that God still speaks to people? And could it be that as we build this, that we will for years reap the supernatural benefit of people, even in your family, coming to Christ because of a willingness for you to do what Jesus Christ did, to to put your treasure not in this earth, but in heaven, to get a supernatural benefit right now and forevermore. I'm just asking, is that possible? I believe it is. And I believe that's exactly what God is doing in this place. And that's why I have the intensity and the willingness. Because I know you can look at me and say, I know that. But you know what I believe? I believe you see past. I believe you see what's really going on in the supernatural realm. I'm believing today, before we dismiss, we're going to pray that God would speak to you and give you an amount. God don't do that. Yeah, you tell Noah that. Noah is told exactly how long, how wide, how tall, exactly how to build it. And it's interesting because here's what God told Noah. Build an ark for yourself. Could we be building an ark for ourselves? Could we be building a place that is going to speak to our community and speak to our families for a long time? John chapter 9, verse 6. John chapter 9, verse 6. Look at this. This is so good. I love this one. And when he had said these things, I love this thing. He spat on the ground. Okay, Jesus, everybody say, Jesus acts crazy. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to get you to understand that the same Jesus that did this is the same Jesus that might give you an amount, and you might think, no way. Stop thinking that. Stop filtering what he says through your logic, through your calculator. Don't let your flesh tell you what to do. You tell your flesh what to do. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Unbelievable. Okay, so here's what I want you. You're blind. Here, I got this new way. Here, we're going to heal you. You know what I mean? I'm going to make some mud, and then I'm going to put, imagine you're blind. They put it on your eyes like, what did he just do? And to be even more gross, he not only put mud on the guy's eyes, he put mud, what kind of mud? Spit mud, thank you. He put mud that, you know, there's no hose. He's like, you know, the guy's blind. He's like, did I hear? You know, it's like unbelievable. You know, there's no hose. Okay, watch this. Because you see it over and going. Watch this. And he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed. And what did he do? He came back seeing. Does it say he left seeing? Doesn't say he left seeing. It says he what? Came back seeing, which would indicate that he left what? Blind. Left blind. He can't see. What's he doing? Here's what he's doing. He is walking in crazy obedience to a crazy commandment that Christ gave him. And because of that, listen, please. Here's the main thing. Here's the main message. Because of that, let's say that together. Because of that, because he got out of the boat as they went, because he did what God asked him to do, crazy instructions. He's got mud on his eyes. Oh my goodness, this is gross. This makes no sense at all. Because of that, he's going to come back seeing. Okay. Did you find yourself in 2 Kings yet? Yes. Okay, you did. Okay, good. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 5. Guys, we're just going to the first 5 verses, then we're going to 9, okay? Now, Nahum, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but here's what he was. He was a leper. We see this leprosy again. Uncurable. Nobody's got a cure for this leprosy. Next verse. And the Syrians had gone out on raids, and they had brought back captives of a girl from the land of Israel. Israel. They bring back this girl, and this girl knows about the power of God. Watch this. She waited on Nahum's wife, and she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." Understands there's a healing God. He's just got to get with the prophet and do what the prophet tells him to do. Then Nahum went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is in the land of Israel." So gives him the command, if you do this, you know what, let's connect you with the prophet. Go to verse 9, guys. Then Nahum went with his horses and chariots, and he stood at the door of Elijah. Elijah is the prophet. Are you all with me?
Yes.
This guy finds out this prophet can heal him. He's like, "Man, I'm going to go to the prophet." Goes to the prophet, but watch what happens. Because here's what happens. Many of you are willing to some extent, but then you hear the crazy command. And when you hear the crazy command, you're like, "I'm out of here. This is dumb." That's what Nahum's going to do. He's going to hear, well, look at next verse. Next verse. Then Elijah sent a messenger to him. Elijah's too busy. He's making a bagel and some lox or something. He's too busy over here. He's not paying any attention. Hey, go tell him this. Sends this messenger to see him. And he says, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you shall be cleansed." Next verse. Then Nahum became furious. He's got the command of God. You know why he became furious? Because he had a preconceived notion of how God was going to do it. Can you listen to me very carefully? Some of you have a preconceived number of what you're going to give to the outside thing, and I'm telling you, don't do that. You let God tell you what to do. And when he tells you what to do, don't become furious at him. Because you know why we become furious? Listen, because it's not how we planned it. It's not the number that we thought. It's not the way that we thought. We don't want to do it. Look what happens to him. "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out." Here's what I said. Here's one of my preconceived. Here's why I'm furious. Because I thought he was going to come out and talk to me. And I thought he was going to, look what he said. And he said, "Surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord God and wave his hands over the place and heal my leper." Here's what I thought. I thought he was going to come out and do this in the name of Jesus. Am I mocking people who say that? No. And you don't mock them either. We all of a sudden we get all educated and we get all smart and we're like, "Well, they shouldn't have done it like this. They should have done it like this. Or they should do it like this. Or they should not be so loud. Or they should be too loud." All this stuff. Here's my suggestion to you. Hey, don't be so opinionated. Yeah, you can say amen. Because just the way that's maybe how the Holy Spirit told you to do it. Hey, listen, we need to get off these certain criteria. Well, this is how God is going to work. Can we just listen to what God says to do in a fresh way? Can we put our trust in the men of God that God is leading, that they'll do it the way that God, and just trust in that they're hearing from God? Amen? And not be all judgmental and say, "Well, I think you should." We get all judgmental and messes this up. And notice he was furious. Can I tell you what? People get furious when you start talking about money. And they try to shut you down and they get all self-righteous. "Let me tell you what, you shouldn't even talk about money because God don't care about money. He just cares about my heart." All eyes up here. Huh? Do you believe that? You know why you believe that? Because you've conned yourself to say that. And let me tell you what it is. It's a smokescreen, you know what, to get away from the real problem. Oh, praise God. God help me deliver the truth. Here's the problem. You love money. And that's the root of evilness. And you're selfish and you hold money back from the very thing. Listen, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the word of God is never going to pass away. And the thing that really matters is building the kingdom of God. And all this other stuff. And you know what we do? And we throw it back in the pastor's face and say, you're, and we judge the pastor and say, your motive is wrong. I'm smiling, right? God help us. Because let me tell you what, money is indication of where your heart is. And God has no problem asking you for your heart. I'm going to say it again. He has no problem asking you for your heart. He told the rich young ruler, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sell everything and give it to the poor. Oh, that's bad. Pastor shouldn't say that. We get furious at this. Here's why. Because it's not how we thought he should have done it like this. I was furious at my wife when she told me, came home, you know what, and gave $500. Said, well, she didn't give it, but she made a commitment to $500 to this other ministry. I was like, that's not a God. I was furious. But it was of God. Pastor, what'd you do? I recognize it was God. I said, praise God. You know what? Give it. It'll be given to me. Don't worry about it. Don't get all concerned. You know, trust in the Lord and know that God will take care of you. It doesn't even make any sense. If the Bible said give it, if you really believe give it will be given, then what's the big deal? Because it's coming back. Amen? Yes. And what I've noticed, it comes back, and it comes back a different way than it goes. I could teach that, but maybe next week. He will surely come out and stand and call. He, I thought this was going to happen. Here's what he does. We'll just finish off with this. Here's what he does. He leaves with his leprosy. He had the crazy commandment. He calculated out, too crazy. I'm not going to do it. And finally, some people, they ran up to him. They said, "What? He's walking away with his leprosy." And thank God he had servants who came up to him and said, "What are you doing? If God would have told you to do something different, you would have done it. This is simple. Just do what God asks you to do." Can I tell you what? God's instruction to us, it is simple. It's not complicated. It is simple. Just do it. He had an aha moment. Watch this. And because he went back and he washed seven times in the pools that the prophet said to wash in, guess what? He was healed. The Bible says his skin was like the skin of a baby. He came back not only healthy, but with a good complexion. Somebody say amen. Right? I'm just telling you what the Bible said. All I'm saying to you is this. Please connect the dots. Because let me tell you what, the miracle, it's not up to God. It's up to us. The miracle is in our court. So very quickly, Tamara's going to come up and speak to us for a little bit. But as she comes, I just want to pray over you. And I just want to give, we don't have to, you know what, I know many of you have been praying. But I just want to pray that God would speak to you. And maybe for some of you, you haven't even asked. But that we would ask God, God, what would you have me? What is my part of this? Tamara, come on up. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I thank you for each person. I thank you that you speak to us. You send in your word, my sheep hear my voice, and they won't follow any other. Father, I pray that you would speak to each one of us as far as what is our part to do. And I thank you that we will be willing and obedient to do whatever you ask us to do. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, go. Just turn around and look at Mark. And Mark is in front of our boxes. Our box is there. Mark, go ahead and pull one of those out. Okay. In that sheet right there, go ahead, guys, give it to me in the back. We have it up here on the screen. Go ahead and you guys can look up here. Do you see that? Guys in the back? 1 second. Okay. So there's a place that you can mark a one-time gift. And if we could do that, if we had 300 people just give $1,000, we could start this next week. Just 300 people to give just $1,000, we'd start it next week. Okay. That's not so big, such a big deal. I don't think it is. Guys, are you working on that? Okay. So anyway, I'll just tell you. There's one place it says right there you can give a one-time gift, or you can give monthly. So maybe you want to give whatever amount it is every month for 1 year. We'd ask you to do that. And we'd ask everybody to do that, some amount, a little bit every month. Or you can do both. And so what I want you to do is take one of those cards. They already have them in your bulletins. Everybody has one. You can fill that out. Put it in that box back there. You can just fold it once, put it in that box right there, or any of the ushers will take them. Ushers, if somebody gives that to you, do me a favor. We need to make sure those get in those boxes because we need to collect those all up. Tamara and I are so proud of you, and we don't, listen, as God is our witness, we believe that this is not a good idea. We believe that this is God's idea. But just like somebody said this 30, 40, no, 50, 60 years ago about building the North Sanctuary, that we all, how many know we're on this ground because somebody before you cared more about others than themselves? And I'm only asking you to do that. Some of them are passed away and then are in heaven and we're reaping their benefits. Amen. We're all going to reap a benefit and your family will reap a benefit too. Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
Man, I just wanted to, a couple of weeks ago when we, as we're giving an opportunity. Here's what we're doing. We're giving an opportunity for the congregation to be part of what God's doing. We have a responsibility to do that. And so the Bible is very clear. Don't anyone give under compulsion. If this is making you, I don't like this. Listen, real simple. Here's your responsibility. Ask God what to do and do what he asks. That's it. And what we're believing is, as the Lord spoke to us, when we first came here 17 years ago and the church was in great decline and they had just a few thousand dollars left in the bank and they had voted to take $5,000 out to try to fix up the facility, it took about $165,000 to fix up the facility. So that'll put our $5,000 in perspective, okay? But for the 12 people who were here at the time. And if all we had, and I don't know the numbers, maybe I think all we had was $8,000 left in the bank, and that was it. Then it is over. So Pastor talks about this time when we came, we didn't even buy a paper clip. We bought nothing. We turned on no air conditioning. We did nothing. You know what? So, for to pull five of the eight or five of the $10,000, whatever was left, and that's all we had to pay our electric bill, our water bill, our whatever, that was a big deal. But that's what the leadership had decided to do, is to pull that money and begin to fix the facility. Well, what we used the money for, we actually ended up paying a painter who ended up painting the whole facility. But we didn't buy paint with that money. We couldn't have bought paint with that money. We couldn't have afforded the paint for the building with that money. When we took that money out, I was in prayer, and at that time, there maybe six of us showed up to Wednesday night prayer meeting out of the 12 of us, and I was sitting in prayer, and the Lord said, I'm going to take that $5,000, and I'm going to make it like the loaves and fishes. And so I turned around to the people and I said, Spirit of God just said he's going to take the 5,000. He's going to make it like the loaves and fishes. We ended up, and many of you saw the articles on the other side when we were down on the north side, we ended up with over $165,000 worth of renovations to our building over the next year and a half to 2 years. It was completely miraculous what happened. Different businesses gave us materials. That's what happened. We had rotted doors. We had faucets that wouldn't turn on when you'd turn them on. But we got doors given to us and carpet, brand new carpet for the whole facility given to us. Brand new doors, all kinds of stuff. Every piece of trim that's still on this door today as you walk through the facility in the kids' room, all of that was donated. And so God did exactly what he said. He took that $5,000 and he multiplied it. And as soon as he spoke to us that he was going to do that, we believed him. Yes, You know what? And we began to exercise our faith that God was going to do exactly what he said he would do. Well, that's kind of where we're at right now. You know what? I believe strongly in my spirit. It'll be a quick work, amen, this work outside. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't try to figure it out anymore. I've been walking with God enough that I just do what he tells me to do, and then I let him do what he does. Amen? And so we're giving the congregation, we talked about the loaves and the fishes last week. We're on the go and see time, if you look at that in your Bible, when all the people needed to be fed. And Jesus said, go and see what we have amongst us. And they went, and they brought back 5 loaves, 2 fishes. He blessed it, and many, many, many thousands ate, and then there was leftover. And so what God has in mind this time, I have no idea. You just let us do our job, which is to share the vision, amen, to cast the vision, to encourage you, to remind you of the Word of God, and then you do your job. What is the Lord saying to you? And then just be obedient to it, amen? And then that's it. And if God's telling you, I don't want you to do nothing, then I guess then you do nothing, okay? So people get freaked out. When you're going to talk about money, don't get freaked out. This is between you and God, amen? Not between us and you. This is between us and God. Amen? Amen.